Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to the 2020 LFCAEN ordination preparation meeting. This is our second meeting. Caller, you're on the line, and what is your name?
Evangelist Arnetta.
Amen, amen. Good to have you. I may have to have you call another number, but I am not sure.
Okay.
Okay.
I put you back on mute.
All right, thank you. My friend. Can you let us know your name when you log on?
Yes, this is Pastor T.
Good evening, Pastor T.
How are you?
I am blessed.
Wonderful.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, there the people are. They're coming on.
Mr. Pat.
Amen. We got a few minutes. We're trying to wait for others to get on. And while we are waiting, do you have any questions or concerns thus far in your process? Anything you might need clarity on or just some information? Now is the time to share your concerns and to ask your questions. Amen. We will get started. I don't know who all is on the line, but if we have a gentleman on the line, they can start us off in prayer, please. Take your phones off mute and give us our opening prayer. It's 7 o'clock. Maybe we can wait a few more minutes. Really started at an odd hour. I don't know why, but it did. So, if we can have one of our male candidates to start a committee members.
All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for this is a day that you have made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. Thank you for this 2020 class. Thank you for each candidate and committee member that is represented. We pray that as our heart is open to the frequencies of heaven, we may receive all that you have for us individually and collectively. Thank you for each precious promise that you have spoken of our lives. We are excited and in expectation for all that you are doing in this season of our life. We thank you for calling this group together for such a time as this to be kingdom leaders and transformational leaders. We pray that you will continue to bless them, strengthen them, give them hope and peace, take away any nervousness, fears, or anxieties they may have. And I pray that they would embrace this love journey of elevation, and that they will run through troops and leap over walls and be empowered to do the greatness and be the greatness that you have called them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ambassadorial Prophet. We will open the meeting today with an update from the phase two. One moment, please. One moment. So I trust that you have received your emails, excuse me, from Minister Elder Sherita, and that you're in compliance with the requirements that were due for phase one. So I can only imagine that you have it and you just haven't sent it to me yet. So I do encourage you to send it to me. You may email it to me at PC_Thornton, and that's THORNTON at yahoo.com. Again, you can email me your phase one information to PC_Thornton@yahoo.com. So we want to look at your items that should have been submitted in phase one, and then take a brief look at the items that are going to be required for phase two. These items for phase two are slightly different because it does not come with a form that you need to fill out, but rather they're reports that you will give that you will pen in a form that is a explanation of the information that they are requiring of you. So with phase one, you should have turned in your application. Those who have not turned in their application, please do not wait to turn it in when you have your application fee, but turn in your application, and you can email Sherita Tate at Sherita_Tate@yahoo.com, and she will make arrangements for you to make that payment and then tell you in the different forms that are available to you. You should have taken your personality test as well as completed the summary of that test, your gift assessment, and then your gift mix summary. We kind of went over that a little bit, and that's putting in a one-page form all of the assessments, your top three that were pointed out to you from your scores in your gift assessment. And then indicating on that form where it's asking for your profile for your personality, it is a four-letter profile that you put there that you're able to glean after you do your personality test. That personality test can be done at www.16personalities.com. Again, that's www.personalities.com. So you need to get that in as soon as possible. If you can't email me the actual form, then you can take a picture of it and then send it to me. Take a picture of it and send it to me, or put it in the form, your hard copy, and drop it in the mail. If you drop it in the mail, it definitely reaches us at Laborers for Christ, AEN, and it is P.O. Box 2081, Matson, that's MATTESON, Illinois, 60, put in the mail, and I promise you we will receive it. Okay. So we're saying a question. We'd like to spell out 16 personalities. So it's the letter one, the letter, I'm sorry, the number one, the number 16, and then no space, PERSONALITIES. Again, that's www.16PERSONALITIES.com. Information has been distributed to you with your form of due date, and all of this this information has been summarized in that form, along with prophetic word for your class and your study for this prophetic word on the three scriptures that were provided by the ambassadorial prophet. And he will bring that clarity to you with that as soon as we finish the phases that you are in. And we're in phase number two, and it is required by the 14th of March, and time is getting there. Your conversion statement tells and outlines when you first received your call to Christ. Now, for a lot of people, they say, well, you know, I was 7, I was 8. Well, then I would tell you to come further up in your walk with Christ, and when you maybe got to a place where your relationship with him had deepened into one of an intimate relationship, and you may want to share that. Any experience, conversion experience you may have had, any dreams or visions that the Lord, and signs and wonders that the Lord may have used to communicate and to reach you. And then your mission and your vision statement. Your mission and your vision statement is Elder Pastor Yvette on the line. That we shared with you.
Did you say
you.
Pastor Yvette?
Yes.
No, Pastor she's Yvette? Not on the line. But I'm
on the line.
Okay.
Can you hear me? I'm on the line.
Oh, you're
yes,
on the
I
line.
Do. I
okay.
Do.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay, Pastor Yvette, you want
yes.
to share with them the difference between mission and vision.
Okay. All right. Good evening, everyone. And for the mission and the vision, I'm going to make it very simple. Your vision is what you see. And that is more or less like the end of a thing. So you see what it is that you will be trying, your goal that you're trying to reach to get to. And the mission would be what you're going to be doing to get to that vision. Now, in Habakkuk, it said, write the vision, make it plain. And I'm paraphrasing now because I'm driving. But in that, it's supposed to be something that's short, easily picked up, because, in other words, when people see your vision, they can catch that vision, meaning that they can grasp it, understand it, and get on board in going to the end of what it is that is you're trying to do. And the mission would be what you would be doing to get to that vision. So an example of that might be I'm going to take a restaurant. I know of a restaurant that originally was a Handy Andy, something like a Menards store or a Home Depot. This person had a vision of this, saw this as a restaurant. They reconstructed different things in there, made different rooms, different areas, even included the outside of it as well. And as that was the vision to see that it would be this restaurant. Once they did it, it got started, the work to get it in place and do that, and then the workers. And today it is a very thriving restaurant that is open and does very well. So that would have been the mission, to reconstruct it, to hire the workers who work in the place with the hospitality, the servers, the cooks, the parking attendants, because parking got to be a big thing too. So many people come to this restaurant. So your mission would be what you're going to do to get to the vision. The vision would be what you're trying, your goal of what you're trying. And you want scripture in those too, correct, Overseer? Hello? Uh-oh. Did anybody
hear me? That goes to... Yes, you're doing fine.
Yes.
That goes to the
okay.
Next.
Yeah, we would like to have some scripture in your vision as well as with your mission. Are there any questions?
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Thank
and
you.
If anyone has any questions later, you think of anything, you can contact me.
Amen. Did anybody have a question? Also, as a wonderful resource, if you want to study it, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/LFC Grace Teaching Center. This information is on your ordination information schedule, and there is an assessment of your ministry operatives, part one, and it's 6 and 7. And it gives a very in-depth explanation to mission and vision statement. We have some interesting things going on with our blog talk again, and so I just need people to let me know if at some point you can't hear me or it's cut us off, then you may have to text me. Now, this is a number that I would like for you to have to call into if that happens. And this number is your ordination conference number. And this is a conference call that has a access code. So I understand that some people may not be able to use it. Then we ask that you partner with someone who can, and they will get you on. But just so that we have the contingency plan of the next thing in case this blog talk session in case it severs. Okay? So that number is our ordination. Number is, one moment, please. Area code 605-475-3235. That's again, area code 605-475-3235. And that access number is 49895. That's 449-895 pound. Okay? So we should be all straight. And we'll try to get this to you in email form after the meeting, just so that you always have it in case something runs amok on our weekly gathering, our weekly phone conference. And so we were going down the list of your phase one, you have what ministry God has called you to. And that is, if you believe there is something that God is drawing you to, what is it? What does it look like? How would you do it? Where would you do it? Who would be the recipients of it? What would it look like physically as well as scripturally? So those are the things that you kind of can lump those four different requirements into one paper that should be maybe two pages, because you're defining your calling, the thing you're called to, and then what your gift assessment indicated as your number one gift anointing. So you want to look up the scripture relating to that anointing. And we find that scripture through you searching the scriptures for your scriptural support and to identify and to write a review of all the scriptures and supporting resources that define your role in this. What role are you going to play? And what qualifies you for that role? And some may feel, well, nothing, or I don't know, or whatever it is, just communicate that. It is fine. There's no right or wrong number, answer, good or bad. It is informational only, so that these are some of the things we can look into and process during this preparation. And then how will your ministry look? Again, maybe you're inside. You're a marketplace. You're in-house. You're in the church only. Maybe it's only to certain groups of people, young people or older people or whatever the ministry is that you see, please indicate. So those are the things that are due with your phase two. They're not really complicated, and they're all due by April 30th, though I trust you would do them before then because they're not as demanding as the other requirements that are going to come after them. So the sooner you get those under your belt, then the sooner we can go forth, okay? So we do want to take time to give time to the prophet to share with you as relates to your scriptural, spiritual preparation through the prophetic word that was given to you. And after the prophet, we will hear from Elder Deborah, who will share information about accountability partners and how that program will look. And then we will have Apostle Katie Pierce share the encouragement from the pastoral division of the AEN. And then finally, our own Archbishop Nathaniel Isaac will close us out. Amen? All right. Let's let it flow. Prophet.
All right, well, good evening, 2020. Pray that you are enjoying your process. I'm not sure. I'm sure that you all may have the prophetic word that is spoken over you already emailed to you. And pray that if you don't, please let us know, and I'll make sure that Sharita gets it to you. But she's usually the best steward over doing those things. So I don't know if you had a chance to look at the word and really just digest it. One of the things that we did when the Lord gave us our 2020 prophetic word as a church, we just began to excavate that word and, you know, go through it line on line on precept and really just allow it to digest in our hearts. We don't want you to just receive this word. We want you to conceive this word, that it literally becomes a part of your DNA and that you take on the spiritual responsibility and also enjoy the declaration that is spoken over your life, and so that you may have a lens to receive the blessings of God and to receive what that word, not only what it means, but what it looks like in your life individually and collectively. And so we once again will just go through that word and pull out some things, and each week just have some prophetic dialogue and have revelatory conversation, making sure that you understand it, and then challenging you as well to digest that word, excavate what it means, ask questions, and really allow God to bring you into the fullness of that word. You know, we know John 1 and 1 declares that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and that Word later on down in a few verses says became flesh and dwelt among men. And so our prayer is that you will see this prophetic Word dwell among you, that it will manifest itself in its physical form according to God's plan and according to the individuality of your gift and calling and anointing and what that looks like for you. And so just to read it again, it says that the class of 2020 is entering to a year of prophetic double ministry. You are the genesis of a new decade. Your gifts, callings, and ministry is the trailblazer for a new spiritual era. You are leading the head of your class, and God has entrusted you with an Elijah mantle to do more for the other trailblazers and revolutionaries. He is raising up and those who will rise up from the grave of their past. You are pregnant with both ministry, and that's where your 2020 double comes, a marketplace assignment. You will build and bless. You will speak and say what God has created for this earth. You will walk bold and brave as you carry out the plans God has for you. Mantles are being released over you as you carry out the strategic blessings of God. You are the crossover class that's changing the latter years and the former things. The Spirit will say to you, be glad then, ye children of Zion, class of 2020, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you, class of 2020, the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down for you, class of 2020, the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore you, class of 2020, the years that the locusts have eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you, class of 2020, shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, class of 2020, and my people shall never be ashamed, and ye, class of 2020, shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And then one of the candidate scriptures that we wanted you to look at was Joel 2:23-27, Genesis out of the King James Version, Genesis 48:12-19. We wanted you to look at it out of it from the Voice Version. And the Voice Version of the Bible, if you have a Bible Gateway app, you can just simply look for the Voice Version, and then 2 Kings 2:9-14 out of the New King James Version. And we indicated those versions because we wanted to excavate from those particular versions and pull out different words so that you can continue to have clarity on what we're talking about. And so when we talk about even the very beginning of it, the Lord began to declare that you're entering to a year of prophetic double ministry. And I know oftentimes that, you know, we've always related double just to the number two. But when we examine the word double, it's not just in relation to two alone. It is translated. It is translated also for that what we see for the year of the Hebrew, the open mouth, because when God speaks, he speaks in a vast and prophetic way. And so we not only want you to understand the double behind it, but more importantly, we want you to embrace the concept of the open mouth. So we have, you know, two lips, you know, as they open. And so we want you to understand that you are entering into this season of God's open mouth, where God is speaking, and not only is he speaking, he is declaring. And when we talk about God speaking, God is uttering what he is saying, but he's also declaring what he has already done. And so we want you to embrace from those two prophetic lenses, the lens that God is currently saying something, and then the lens that God has already declared. He has already declared a word over your life, but he's also speaking a word over your life. And we can see that through played out through the life of Abraham. You know, the Bible told Abraham, go to the place that I'll show you. And so God had begun to speak, but he had declared before he spoke. And what he declared over Abraham was that he would make him a great nation. And in order for Abraham to receive that prophetic promise, he had to go through that process. And that process, as we know, you know, took some time. It took years. And the ultimate culmination of that process, we see where God directed Abraham towards the mountain. And so God has this preceding voice. He was constantly speaking, and his voice, as he was speaking, what he was speaking was always in line with what he had already declared. And what he had declared over Abraham was that he was going to make him a great nation, and that his seed would be as far as the sand is the sea and as the stars in the sky. And so when God spoke, his revelatory conversation was based upon his direction on what has already been declared over Abraham's life. And so when God spoke, he showed him the mountain. Abraham went. You know the story. He got there, and Abraham was getting ready to offer Isaac up as that sacrifice. And then the Lord spoke again, and then he told him, look, he said, there's a ram in the bush. And when he began to take that ram in the bush, he said, sacrifice it. And then the Lord declared over Abraham, he said, now I know that you love me, that you will not withhold your one son, your only son, Isaac. And then that's when he began to speak. But this, his speaking voice was always in line what he had already declared. And so I want you to embrace that prophetic picture that God is speaking to you, and he is speaking you out of the land. He is speaking to you through the lens and out of the conversation of what he has already declared over you. And even now, you know, this process is in alignment with the declaration of God. This process is in alignment with what God has already spoke over you individually, over your destiny, over your purpose. I want you to see every assignment as the alignment of what God has already declared about you, about the gift and the calling that's on your life. And according to the prophetic word, you are entering into that prophetic, that double ministry. You're entering and you're in this season of what God has declared. You're also in the season of what God is speaking. And it says you are the Genesis. You know, you are the beginning. You are the front line. You are open door of a new decade. And we as laborers of Christ, we've not been looking at 2020 just as a year. We've been looking at us entering 2020 as a decade. So what's going to happen over the next 9 years? It's all in alignment with the prophetic door that you're entering in this year. And so your gifts and callings and ministries, you are the trailblazers for a new spiritual era. And so it is in you that God is birthing and bringing out his kingdom. And we know one of our greatest trailblazers was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a trailblazer for Christ what was to come. And his statements were, whose shoes I'm not worthy to, sandals whose I'm not ready to tie. He said, I baptize you with water, but one is coming that will baptize you with the fire. And he is coming declaring the kingdom. And so God is strategically anointing you to be trailblazers. And what is coming out of you is setting others up for the greatness that God has declared. And so, you know, think it not strange of the warfare that's going to come. Even as Overseer was talking, I was thinking about, you know, when we had this process, we ain't had no phase one or two. And I don't mean that by no any dig, but we recognize, we matured as a ministry. We recognize that the enemy will overwhelm you. And so the goal is to split it up so that you can continue this prophetic track. And so, you know, don't fight distraction. You know, Abraham could have been distracted by the voices that was like, hey, we following you. You know, he could have been distracted by Isaac questioning in conversation, because we know Isaac was not a young man. He said, look, the wood I see, the fire, you know, the sacrifice I see, the mountain I see, but where's the lamb? You know, and Abraham said, the Lord will provide. You know, he went all the way there. And so distract your distractions. Get what you need in, because it's all in alignment with your prophetic destiny. It's all in alignment with what God wants to do in your life. And so what God is speaking over you is the fount. It is, he is speaking as a continuous conversation on what he has declared, what he's declared about your mission, declared about your vision, what he's declared about the things that's going to happen in your life. And so now you bring those things out. Amen. So my challenge to you would be to look at 2 Kings, or my assignment to you would be to look at 2 Kings, the 9th chapter, 2 Kings 9, and we said that we wanted to look at it out of the New King James Version of the Bible. So when we look at, when we look at 2 Kings, the 9th chapter, and we starting at the 14th verse, I believe. Yes, 2 Kings, the 2nd chapter, 9 through the 14th verse. 2 Kings, the 2nd chapter, 9 through the 14th verse. And again, we want you to look at it from the New King James Version of the Bible. And again, Bible Gateway is my favorite app. We want to look at it in the New King James Version of the Bible. And so when you get a chance, Overseer, am I giving them an assignment? Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to look at 2 Kings. We will look at the 2nd chapter. We will look at verses 9 through 14. And so remember, we also declared that you were this crossover generation.
Come on, you got to come on.
You were this crossover generation. And so 2 Kings, the 9th chapter, said, and so it was so when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elijah, ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you? And Elijah said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So your assignment is to look at verse 2 Kings, 2nd chapter 9 through 14. And I just want you to identify in those chapters the places that they had to cross over. So identify the places within those chapters that they had to cross over. And then identify significance in those particular places. So, for example, I'll give you an example. Verse 11 says, then it happened as they continued on and talked. No, I'm sorry. No, so you want to go back up, okay? I'm sorry. You want to go back up. Don't start at 9. I want you to start at 1 through 9. I'm sorry about that. I want you to start at verses 1 through 9 and look at the different places they had to cross over. So, for example, verse 4 says, then Elijah said to him, Elijah, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. And so they had to cross over at Jericho. So that's a place. I just want you to look at those places, identify from 1 through 9 and 2 Kings, the places they had to cross over, and then identify the significance of those places. And when I say identify the significance, you just want to look at it and pull out what it means to you. So, for example, they had to cross over verse 4. They had to cross over. He sent me on to Jericho. So I will identify Jericho as a place, and then I will do research on what Jericho means. Now, what does Jericho mean? What did it mean way back in the days of Joshua and when the wall fell down? And the Lord is going to give you something, you know, so don't overthink it. Just allow the Holy Spirit to minister it to you, and that would be your assignment. So you want to look at 2 Kings, preferably out of the New King James Version of the Bible. And you're going to look at verses 1 through 9, and there are places that Elijah had to cross over. And we want to identify those particular places, what they mean in Scripture, and then what they mean to you. When you read this, what did the Holy Spirit reveal to you? How do you relate it to your process? Are many of you all at a Jericho, and it's time for some walls to come down, walls of fear, walls of poverty, walls of doubt, walls of your past that has to come down in order for you to cross over to this next place? And so you want to identify it in Scripture, also want to make it revelatory and personal to you. And what did the Lord speak to you as you understood Elijah and Elisha's process as crossing over? And remember, you are the trailblazers. And remember, after Elijah died, Elisha picked up that mantle, and he was a trailblazer for new revelation of prophets that were being raised up. And I want you to embrace that. Embrace being a trailblazer. Embrace that God is speaking to you out of the lens of what he's already declared over you. And so every word that is being spoken, it is laid within the foundation of what God has already said about you, and you are walking in it in this season. You are living out your prophetic destiny. You got through the walls of rejection as a child. You got through the walls of being bullied, picked on, all of those things for this moment right here, so you can cross over to this place that God has personally, intimately ordained for you for such a time as this. And I am excited about your today. I'm impressed with your
Amen.
Yesterday.
Amen.
And I look forward to your tomorrow. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Prophet. Are there any questions? Okay, when you get into your assignment, enjoy it. We're going to go now to Elder Deborah. She is on the line to share with you about the accountability process. Information is going to be given to you. So she's just going to give you a summary of the information that Elder Sharita will be passing on to you. Elder? Can't sleep.
Yes. Sorry about that. That delay.
No problem.
I'm not sure exactly what you want me to go over, if you just want me to go over it in a broad way or like what we dealt with last week, or no, I'm just not sure. Tell me which way you
just
want me.
Just
a snippet
of
what expected of the partners.
Yes.
For, in going through this process, it certainly has been determined and it has worked for us in a positive way with the accountability partner system. And so for the candidates that are on the line, and I hope there would be some partners on the line, accountability partners as well, candidates, you should know that your accountability partner may not be on every call. We'd like them to be, but they're not mandated to be. So just keep that in mind. I don't want anyone to think less of their partner if they happen to not be on a call that's not mandated. But we want to, you know, you were paired, uniquely paired, with someone who has already gone through the process, and their role is to basically assist you, not help you do the work, not help you get the answers to the questions, but to basically like take your temperature, see where you are in the process, because they've gone through the process. Some of them have gone through the process more than once, and they can give you insight as you share where you are in the process and what you're going through. We like to make sure that you're on track with where you need to be regarding the phases and getting your paperwork turned in. If there are any questions with the process, if you let your accountability partner know, we're trying to pull that information if there are questions, because if you have a question, someone else may have that same question. So your accountability partner will be filling out paperwork, logging basically how you embrace the process, if you guys are able to engage in the process. There will also be an assessment done where you can do an assessment of your accountability partner. We want the accountability goes both ways. It is a relationship of trust. And as we embrace the process and lean in, if you will, it makes it so much easier to get some kind of traction as far as to be able to have some authentic and genuine conversations. There may be some questions asked of you that you might think that might be a bit personal or intimate. It's not a matter of prime, but just how you're doing in the process. How's your family doing? You know, how's this working out with your job? How are your children handling this? You know, how are you handling this? You know, and because they've been through the process, because they're here to assist you, you can be honest with them. You know, it's not always pretty. You know, you don't always want to do it. definitely, I know that. So there can be struggles and challenges.
Amen.
But as you
Amen.
Share handle and break open the Word of God, it just becomes a process that is life-changing. And that's what we wish and pray for you, that this would be a transformational journey for you. And you're walking along not only with one other person, you know, you're doing it, you as an individual with your partner, but we're also doing this corporately. And so, you know, we want to be part of the process. We want you to take advantage of whatever opportunities, whatever events that we have to become part and parcel of what we do, not just a service, but, you know, really more of a family, more of a unit, the koinonia, that whole fellowship and community and unity. And so there is a document or two that will that I've done, and I definitely will take your critical analysis on it when you see it, if there's more information that you think you need. But we just want you to be prayerful on both sides. You know, we ask the accountability partners to pray for their candidates every day. You know, ask the Lord to open their eyes and understanding, so that they might be able to minister, which just means serve, you know, get underneath you as you go through this process. And candidates, I'd ask that you would pray for your accountability partners, because we understand as people of God that prayer works. So, like I said, there will be some documentation that will be emailed to you, the forms, and feel free to reproduce them. For the accountability partners, it's once a month, and we're working out exactly how we're going to do it for the candidates, if it'll be a one-time assessment or something different that still hasn't been decided for this class. But that's just a very broad assessment of what we do, you know, a broad stroke of the accountability process. I don't know, Overseer, you can tell me if I've left something out, if I'm rambling, I'm actually not doing it with something in front of me as I stand here. Mm-hmm. But if there's some additional information. One last thing I'd like to say, that I believe in the month of May is when it will start. Each one of you, each one of the candidates, will get a passage that they are asked to explore and study and then report out on one of the Thursday calls. So you will be getting that. This, it's dealing with some of the elements of accountability that are found in Scripture. We also ask the accountability partners as well to study that passage. Now, that's something you guys can do together, but it is the candidate that reports out. It is the candidate's revelation and insight that we want to hear. But we do want you to be part of that process by introducing your candidate, telling us a little bit about your candidate, you know, so we can kind of get to know each other, even though, you know, we're doing this over the phone lines.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elder. And the only other thing that I would like to remind anybody of, if at any time as a candidate you have a concern about your accountability partner, you can feel free to express it on that form that you'll see, or to call us. I think we've had some very positive accountability partner experience. Even though it was rough and bumpy, it has smoothed itself out, because this was ordained by God. These were things that we were receiving of the Lord on your behalf. And so we do. We rejoice, and we trust God. We trust God for your process. So at this time, we will have Apostle Katie Pierce give you the concerns from the AEN.
Excuse me. Before Apostle Katie Pierce comes on, and this is Sharon Jones, as an accountability partner, are we supposed to turn in that sheet on a monthly basis, or how often?
Yes, on a monthly basis.
On a monthly basis.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And that way, would that go to
track me?
So I would suggest that, you know, we want you to have a minimum of a weekly interaction, at least.
Okay.
At least, you know, contact one time during the week. And I would suggest for the accountability partners, you can use the form and just either make a form per week, or but you only have to turn it in once a month, or you can just make notes on the form and put the date, you know, whatever works best. You know, as long as we can understand what you're submitting.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Absolutely, good question. Anybody else? Okay. Apostle Katie Pierce.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Good evening to all of you. And it was just a blessing to see each of you at the prayer breakfast, the prophetic prayer breakfast on Saturday, and what you're endeavoring to do for the Lord. And we just bless God for each of you on behalf of the LFC AEN Pastoral Care Specifically, we thank and praise God for each of you. We just want to again remind you that you're not in this endeavor alone. We want to remind you that we're here to pray you through or to be the need or whatever need that you may have with reference to this particular walk with God and this process that you're going through. We just again want to make avail ourselves to you for this, to also let you know that we're praying for you through this endeavor and what God is doing. And it is going to be just such a tremendous walk for each of you. It solidifies some things in you, in each of you. It solidifies some things in your own mindset if you're going through this process. Amen. You come in agreement with what heaven has spoken on behalf of your life, my God. And we just thank and praise God for what he's doing. So we just wanted to get on tonight just to encourage you, to let you know that we're praying for you, and again, to let you know that you are not alone. So on behalf of the Pastoral Care and all of our members, we're here to just solidify, to undergird each of you as you take this walk in Christ. Again, we've made our number available to you. Reach out to us if there is a need. Let your accountability partner know if there is a need. Again, we are here to sustain and to keep you and undergird you in this process. So thank you all. Thank you, Overseer.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Apostle. And as you mentioned, and I'm sorry, I failed to really acknowledge, it was a marvelous sight to see you guys stand and in preparation of this completion of your process. It was awesome.
Yes.
It was encouraging to those that were in the audience. It was encouraging to those that had gone before. And sometimes you lose that fire, but when you see it anew, you remember the power of the fire that you were infused in as you realized you have been chosen. You have been chosen. It was just a marvelous sight. It was beautiful. It was so encouraging when all of the other members and accountability partners got up. And it just lets you know the kind of organization that you have become in affiliation with. It is an organization that believes in upgirding the body of Christ and its leaders, equipping them and supporting them and walking alongside of them and rejoicing with them. And so you're very important to the organization. You're very much a part of the organization as you process through this. And so we are really just rejoicing. You came through. You did your numbers. You did your tables. And you were just beautiful. Beautiful truly are the feet of those that preach the gospel. And you preach the gospel when you stand on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ and declare the wonders of his word. So we're going to turn it over now to our Archbishop, Nathaniel Isaac.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Amen. Am I closing out or?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, once again, it is such a privilege and an honor just to be on this line with you guys as you all are going through this process. Once again, the excitement that you hear through Overseer, just to know, and this organization, just to know that there are new leaders being birthed to do kingdom work. And so all the encouragement, I pray that you continue to soak it in, as well as all the teaching. Put it in books on your shelf so you can constantly remind yourself of why you have been called and chosen for this
great, wonderful
work and the perks that come along with it. So I'm excited. I look forward to getting an opportunity to meet you guys or you guys coming down here to Virginia one of these good old years. As we get ourselves together. So
Amen.
All hearts and minds are clear. I'll close out. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for everything that's said and done. God, we are so thankful and grateful for everything that has been imparted. God, we thank you even for a time like this that you have called, that you are fully aware of what's happening, mm-hmm. what's going on, and you have covered your children. You have sealed us with the blood of Christ, oh God. And so, therefore, as you deal with the masses and the world, Heavenly Father, you are reminding us of how to keep loving eyes upon you. And so, God, I thank you for all these candidates as they are going through their processes. God, I thank you as they look into the paperwork that they find themselves in this story that you have written. I pray, God, that they would get access to the books that you have written about them and that they begin to fulfill every chapter, every book that is written about them and the journeys and the adventures that you have for them, oh God. God, I pray, oh God, that they not only see themselves, oh God, being elevated, but they see their households and everything that pertains to them being dedicated to you. And so, God, it is with that we are forever thankful for what you have done, the love you have shown to us first. And, oh, God, as we obey your commandments, oh, God, it is a demonstration of our love towards you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for every entity that you have in place that was designed to bring us closer to you. God, you are an awesome God. You are a wonderful God. And God, there is not enough words to describe you. And so, God, I pray, O Heavenly Father, where peace is needed in each and every one of their lives, that you would grant it. And where disruption is needed, I thank you for it, because it will drive them right into your loving arms. And so, God, thank you. Continue to seal them. Release the Psalms 91 over them, that they not fear any coronavirus, but they begin to speak against it and to show yourself mighty. May all of this drive us to fall on our knees and our faith and to remember that you are in control. And so, therefore, Father, we look to you. And we thank you for the guidance that is in the oil that is poured down from the visionary onto us, the Heavenly Father. And it's with that we say amen, and we love you, and we seal it with us. Thank you. Thank you, my God, and my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Next week at 7 o'clock, same time, same place. God bless you.
Amen. God bless.
Amen. Amen.